Blog Talk Radio.
Arcana, are you on mute? Hello, Arcana? All right, well, I'm not quite sure why I can't hear Arcana, but while he figures out his audio, I would like to say welcome everyone to Delving the Depths of Darkness. We hope that you will enjoy your brief stay within the darkness here And we look forward to reading your poetry, and we look forward to discussing it. And with that being said, I don't even know. I don't know. For all I know, Arcana could be talking to himself. All right. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead, and sorry about this, but for lack of anything else, I'm going to play the intro song over and see what the heck is going on. So here we go. Hello, my dark lovelies, and welcome to Delving the Depths of Darkness with Arcana Amore and Luyu Wildove. It would appear that our master and mistress of darkness are both having a bit of technical problems. And of course, since they left me in charge, well, I decided we should play the intro song twice because it's just such a good intro song. I hope you all are having a lovely evening. I hope you are ready to walk through the somber shadows of twilight hours with our host and hostess, which will be arriving shortly. And in the meantime, I will keep you company. Perhaps some red wine and some little nibbles to start the evening out. You never know what's going to happen. Now, my name is Pam Ray, a poet on All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. And you don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen, and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Also make sure when you get a chance to check out the poetry anthology put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. All right, so I am seeing a request from Master Arcana, who is saying that he needs an invitation sent again. So let me go ahead and take care of that. And there we go. Can't believe people expect me to type and talk at the same time. Oh my goodness gracious. All right. Well, go ahead and let him know I sent that. And anyways, as I was saying, tonight's show is actually sort of a repeat. We had some technical problems with Blog Talk a couple weeks ago, and we did the show, and unfortunately, it didn't get recorded. So, of course, for our listening audience and our devoted poets, we do want to make sure that the show was done over again. So this will be a repeat of that show, and now that I see our wonderful Master of Darkness, I am going to bring him on, and he can tell you more about it. Hello, Arcana. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can. Thank you.
Thank goodness for that. I've just been having a hell of a problem with these headphones. I'm so sorry about that, Pam. Thank you for holding the fort.
No worries. No worries, to be honest. I did not do very well. I stumbled. First of all, I tried to stumble through an intro. Then, when you weren't showing back up right away, I just restated the intro song.
Well, you've done a sterling job there, Pam. Thank you so much. So, let me say, greetings, dark denizens. This is your midnight host, Arcana Amor, reaching out to you from the shadows. And with me will be my coven of lovely ladies, including, and not excluding, the enchanting Pam Ray. And hopefully, later when she's able to join us, we'll have the delectable Luyu Wildove as well to accompany us through the darkness. Good evening, Pam. And how are you this evening after that stumbling start?
Well, I am actually doing quite good. We had some cooler weather today, particularly tired today, I have to say. But no complaints. You know, some days are just like that. You have to just learn to, you know, rest when you can. And, well, you know, but I'm looking forward to hanging out with you, and hopefully Lou will join us shortly, and delving back into this dark poetry, because you know what, it's definitely a lot of pieces that were worth going over again, and of course ones that we didn't get to. So, you know, it's going to be an amazing show. And how are you doing?
Me, I'm doing absolutely fine. Thank you, Pam. Obviously, this time of day for me is the time that I would normally be awakening from my coffin. So it's horses for courses for me. And over here in the UK, we're just having a typical time. It's just rain followed by rain with a little bit of rain and some scattered showers thrown in. So the most useful implement that you have, if ever you come to this country, if ever you come here on a holiday, whatever you do, make sure that you pack a brolly because you're going to need it.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Definitely. I will be planning to do that because, you know, since I'm made out of sugar, I'd melt underneath all that rain. So.
Sugar and spice and all things nice, eh? Have you ever been to the UK, Pam?
I have never been. Oh, nope, I've never been to the UK. The only countries I've been to, I was to Germany and Austria, and those are unfortunately the. I wish I'd done more traveling, but that's it. So
that's why you have such an excellent German accent. Then, when you start to speak German.
Yeah. Yep. I wasn't there long. I studied German in high school for 4 years, and then I actually still as an adult try to occasionally brush up on it. I admit, if I believed in past lives, I truly believe that I was a woman of a Germanic tribe in a past life because I have such a love of the culture and the history.
Perhaps you were a former Marlene Dietrich in a former life.
Oh, there you go. I like that thought. And by the way, I wanted to let you know that Lou has joined you. Welcome to the show, Lou. Glad you could be here.
Good evening,
Lou.
Happy
to be here. Good
Great
evening,
to have you
Arcana,
with us.
And good evening. Oh, I'm a little bit tired today. My mom was she's 85. And she went out and was dragging buckets of water from the rare rain that we get to drop in all her plants and trees, and now she's in a lot of pain, so I was over there helping her.
Oh, bless. I'm sorry to hear that, Lou. And how are you today, yourself? How are you feeling?
Well, I feel great. I'm just a wee bit tired because, you know, when you worry, you know, it tends to take a little bit of a toll on your energy.
Absolutely.
But other than that, I am fine and dandy, sweet as candy.
Okay, that's great to hear. Okay, so we've got quite a lot to try and get through tonight. So what I think we will do is, without further ado, let us make a start on this evening's show. And what I'm going to put up, first of all, is from the last show, we did actually have a couple of carryovers from the previous Planets contest. So what I think we will do is we will kick off. There's only a couple. Is we'll get those done. So I'm just going to put those up now for you. And the first one I'm going to put up is "The Eternal Silence of These Infinite Spaces Frightens Me" by Fabrice D. And so to kick us off, Pam, would you like to give this a read for us, please?
I would be happy to. All right. I meditated on the chasm with me moving where all is abyss, action, desire, dream, word, and on my hair, which right up stands time and again. I feel the wind of fright, the depth, the shore, up, down, everywhere, the silence, the ghostly, captivating space. In my nights, the unknown with its knowing finger draws a multiform, never-ending nightmare. Afraid of sleep as one's afraid of a great hole, leading to who knows where, full of vague horror. I see but infinity through each glazing. And my mind always haunted by dizziness, jealousness, the numbness of the nothingness. Never to leave the numbers and beings. End poem.
Great read there, Pam. Thank you for that. And Liu, what did you make of that?
His imagery in here, that feeling of space and void where you're so afraid to fall asleep because you're afraid that you're going to be pulled into that space of horror where, a lot of people, unknown things can just bring terror to them. And each of us all have our different fears. And I thought that he brought this out fabulously in each line.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Great comment there, Lou. And I would have to say, to me, Fabrice's piece is a kind of introspective reflection on what lurks in the darkness and fear of the unknown, which extends into the realm of dreams for fear of them becoming nightmares, afraid of sleep as one's afraid of a great hole leading to who knows where, full of vague horror. I see but infinity through every each glazing. I found the last line to be somewhat perplexing at first when I first read it. Ah, never to leave the numbers and beings. But in the context of the previous lines that explore fear, horror, being haunted by dizziness and jealous of feeling the numbness of nothingness, I think it may refer to staying in the realm of familiarity, where things appear clearer and less hidden in the clear light of day. Numbers and beings being a feeling of safety in numbers rather than being left alone to face your fears. I thought it was an imaginative write by Fabrice, and it's got hidden depth to it. And so I say, well done. And Pam, you read this one. What did you think?
Oh, this is wonderful. I'm always impressed with Fabrice's writing, the imagery in it. And I do like what you both had to say, and I have to agree. You do see that fear of the unknown, that fear of the nothingness, the open space, and even of the dream realm that you may be pulled into. I really like In My Nights, the unknown with its knowing finger draws a multiform, never-ending nightmare. That idea of being just so terrified at what you might open up into your own mind, that you want to stay mm-hmm. securely in the moment, awake and not fall asleep. I mean, it's just really a captivating write and very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, good observations there, Pam. I think what we will do is we will get this last Planets poem put to sleep. And this one is called Venus by Dutajou. And Liu, would you like to give this one a read for us?
Yes, it'd be my pleasure.
Thank you.
Venus by Dutajou. Stuck in the yellow dense clouds, bubbling heat awaits. You inhale her. The sun is a smear in her vastness. She shines high like her sibling, admired by land far away. Her name is Venus, creamy, sultry, and hot, stilling your breath for a while. No moon shine out before her. She's stands alone. She is the legacy of love. This title is her work. Long were her wrath. She had to be the last of the three, with dignity out in the cosmos. She agreed to the crown. She lays in the heavens when, alas, you are lost and weary. Raise your eyes to the class of your years, the brightest of stars, a loyal true femme. She needs some people of her own. And poem.
Wow, great read there, Liu. that was made for you, that one. You really brought a bit of sensuality into that with your voice. And Pam, what do you think to this?
Well, first of all, yes, absolutely a wonderful read, Lou. I was really glad to see that this one placed in the contest, because I have to say, I remember this one. It stood out to me, and it's very striking. And, you know, I really like how she personified Venus, and she writes as both the planet and the goddess simultaneously. Amazing imagery and metaphors, a wonderful rite personifying Venus with all her strength and all her glory. And the fact that she puts her at the end of the poem as a loyal and true friend, I thought that just really, just for some reason, touches the heart and just feels right. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. I thought Dutiju has composed a lovely piece here that eloquently describes the planet Venus through use of metaphor, mythology, and facts. I love the opening lines that capture the reader's attention straight off. Socked in yellow dance clouds, the bubbling heat await you, inhale her. The sun is a smear in her vastness. She shines high like her siblings, admired by lands far away. Her name is Venus. From there, we delve further into the mythological aspect. With long were her wraths of the people, she had to be last of the three, with dignity out in the cosmos. She agreed to the crown. She lays in the heavens. Venus was closely associated with the Greek goddess Aphrodite, who was known to have vented her wrath, incited by those who offered her personal slight, who scorned love or made conceited boasts. And this is an imaginative rite that has been lovingly composed by Dutiju and offers a different aspect to the planet Venus, which I thought was excellently executed, very well written and very well done. Loved it. And Luyu, you read this one. What did you think to it?
You know, I thought this was beautiful. I loved how he dressed her and draped her, soaked in yellow dance clouds. Bubbling heat awaits you, inhale her. Then he goes on to, you know, point out that Venus is creamy, sultry, and hot, filling your breath for a while. You know, and then he brings out, you know, her loneliness and how, you know, with mythology that she is the legacy of love. And, you know, and then he goes and, you know, brings out the other comments that you both brought out and then says that, you know, that with dignity out in the cosmos, she agreed to the crown. She lays in the heavens. And I just thought that was absolutely stunning and beautiful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It is a beautiful poem. Very well done. And thank you for that. And what we have next is we're now moving into the Love and Heartache contest that was held, which unfortunately got lost due to blog talk on the last show. So because we have some wonderful poetry that was entered into that contest, we're going to start again with that now. And the first piece I'm going to put up, which I shall read myself, is called Spinning from Fran Marie. Sisters, dream your dream. Come with me to Utopia, where Shangri-La awaits with Venus. Stir your senses to Saturn's skies, one step away from Heaven's gate, leading to Nirvana. Dip your desires in Neptune's sea, splash to sublime bliss, drenched in paradise. Chart your course, spinning thoughts in rapid force, calming ever-changing winds of Mercury. Summon the stars, lighting our power, fires of the universe, striking an iron sword, conquering Mars. Taste the temptation from dawn to dusk, in morning sun and magic nights of the goddess moon. She's sweet ambrosia on earth. Women possess the power to break free those binds of restraint, unleashing the chains of Uranus. Scheme the scheme, take the chance, let luck be our lady familiar in mystical themes of Jupiter. Ride your river. You know what? I'm reading the wrong part. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my goodness, really?
I'm reading.
Well, it was a beautiful read.
It was an absolutely wonderful read.
What I'm reading is it's actually a piece that Fran was kind enough to contribute towards the Planets contest. And I hadn't realized that I'd actually put that ahead of the rest. So I do apologize for that. I will just finish reading it because it's a wonderful piece. Women possess the power to break free those binds of restraint, unleashing chains of Uranus. Scheme the scene, take the chance. Let luck be our lady familiar in mystical themes of Jupiter. Ride your rhythm, savoring flavor of forbidden fruits where no rules apply to us, spinning our freedom in Pluto. This was a wonderful piece, and I'll just make a quick comment on this since I've read it. So I thought on this one, Fran skillfully weaves a magical tale of beauty and wonderment, choosing to take us on a spiritual flight of fantasy through our solar system. She covers most of the planets in this, which she does very, very well. To me, this whole piece oozes feminine empowerment, seeking the nurturing side of the mythology behind the planets and transforming them into this powerful piece that takes us on a spiritual voyage through our solar system. Fran's skillful use of poetic eloquence paints a spellbinding tapestry in the mind's eye that resonates with soothing imagery of hostile alien worlds. A wonderful piece of poetry from our Fran. And thank you so much for sharing it with us. I won't bring everybody else in commenting on this piece because we've got so much to get through tonight, and it was my bad to actually put that one in, because we've also got another piece from Fran that she was kind enough to enter into the Love and Heartbreak contest. So we'll give full comments on that one a little later. So the next piece I'm going to put up, which is from the Love and Heartbreak contest, is coming. It's called Realizing You're Gone by Darkened Auras. And so, Pam, would you like to read this one for us?
Absolutely. Upon the full moon shining bright, I see his image in cascading light. I feel his icy ghost-like touch. God, I love him so, so much. Candles blow out as he comes near, creating a smoky atmosphere. I close my eyes as I realize this whole scenario must be lies. I hear crashing, breaking of ice. His life was paid the ultimate price. His spirit is now all I will see. A dream's all our coupling will be. Celibacy for life, the ultimate test for a broken body that will never find rest and a shattered heart that will never mend because my soulmate's life came to an end. So in my dreams, deep in my mind, I'll hold tight the life we left behind, cherished sense of his cologne and his smiling face, so I'm not alone. End poem.
Lovely read, Pam. Yeah, this to me is a deeply sad tale about a lost love who's passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Great rhyming throughout in this emotive rite that captures deep-seated feelings of loss, grief, and undying love, with a stoic determination to remain faithful to someone who can never again join them in the physical sense. The opening lines capture the ghostly image of the woman closing her eyes and thinking about her lost love, who stands beside her in the form of a ghostly presence. Upon the full moon shining bright, I see his image in cascading light. I feel his icy ghost-like touch. God, I loved him oh so much. The last stanza emphasizes this lovelorn lament with, so in my dreams, deep in my mind, I'll hold tight the life we left behind, cherish scents of his cologne and his smiling face, so I'm not alone. I love that last stanza. I love the way that she sort of brought that in, the scent of her lost love that stays with her and haunts her. I thought it was a very touching piece that Christine has penned here that tugs at the heartstrings, and I have to say, very well done, Dark and Auras. And Luyu, what did you think to that one?
You know, what I loved about her poem was that she took that picture of her sitting on the couch, leaning over with her eyes closed, and she sees the face of her soulmate. And, you know, she describes all the way through here where she says the candles blow out as he comes near, creating a smoky atmosphere. I close my eyes as I realize this whole scenario must be life, but it's not life, because he appears to her in her dreams, you know, and she smells him. So in her last stanza, so in my dreams, deep in my mind, so it shows where she is at. I'll hold tight the life we left behind, what she is so missing. Cherish sense of his cologne, which just haunts her senses, and his smiling face, so I'm not alone. And so she sees him in her dreams as he appears. Beautifully penned that photograph.
Sorry,
right.
I was mutilating you for a moment.
Don't scare me.
No, that was a great comment there, Lee. And I'm sorry, I did say, Pam, what did you think to this one?
Oh, I thought it was just absolutely beautiful. Loved the rhyme and flow. You know, there were so many great rites in this contest, but, you know, I think this one stood out because not only because of the spot-on rhyme, but how she describes what it's like to be completely devoted to somebody that you would basically mm-hmm. put the rest of your life aside and be focused on their memory. And just a wonderful rite all the way through. But I especially like candles blow out as he comes near, creating a smoky atmosphere. I close my eyes and I realize this whole scenario must be lies. How absolutely heart-wrenching and very well done, right?
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. Okay, so the next piece I'm going to put up now. This is the one that I meant to put up before, so apologies to Fran. And this one is called My Dark Gothic Lover by Fran Marie.
Oh.
And I'll give this one a read. I cuddle in the arms of death, destiny's vibrations to warm my naked facade of fire, for death's frigid cold air, so coldly clad, lives inside me. Sinister shadows breathe low to consume me. Each breath, inhaled ash, each sigh, now dust, as you passed beyond earthly plains. Oh, my dark gothic lover, misery has claimed me. Fate has named me. Anger has inflamed me. What use am I without you? 'Tis a sullen sorrow I mourn. My mind in sync with torment's dawn. She echoes, edging my ear. Oh, my dark gothic lover, that heaven might smile upon you, open death's dark dreary tomb, bring you back to life, and me nevermore to roam. This dark night plays phantom's presence, your hands flowing through me, like ghosts fluidly moving into my space. I sense your sensual scent, and I break down once again. In still of darkness, I let go of your love words to me, poetry verses you had written, now scattered to a midnight breeze. 'Tis but dead matter without life's fire. Oh, my dark gothic lover, slowly in haunting vapors I'm caught. My life, my love is for naught. I've nothing left save love's twisted, gnawing knot. End poem. Okay, Pam, what did you think to that?
Well, first of all, great read there, Arcana. Oh my goodness, yeah, I love this one. It's just stunning. The dark sensuality within it, the imagery and metaphors. I really have to say that I love that picture. I actually want to write to that picture myself. I think I'm going to do that just for the fun of it. It just it calls for a write.
Oh, I look forward to that.
I will be sure to share with you if the muse cooperates. We'll see. But, I'm hoping so. But I really like the use of repetition of, oh, my dark gothic lover. It gives it such an epic feel, and there's a hauntingness to it, and the desire to be near someone, but how it also personifies death as a lover. And I really like her use of alliteration, and I sense your sensual scent. It's almost like the hunt for somebody, the hunt for a lover. And oh my goodness, just absolutely amazing and very well done.
Yeah, I have to completely agree with that. Hence why it got the silver in the contest. And Liu, what did you think to that one?
You know, what I loved about this is that we know that there are phantoms that are with that target and are always with one person. And she brought that out, the dark night plays phantom's presence, your hands flowing through me like ghostly fluid, fluidly moving into my space. I sense your sensual scent, and I break down again, you know, where she can feel the darkness that is coming and moving in. And, you know, she, you know, it's just where she, you know, she longs for it. This shadow phantom, and where Pam brought out, oh, my dark gothic lover, misery has claimed me, fate has named me, anger has inflamed me. What use am I without you? 'Tis a sullen sorrow I mourn, my mind in sync with torments down, empty echoes edging my ear, but she waits for him. And, you know, in the darkness and her haunting vapors, you know, my life, my love is for naught. I've nothing left save love's twisted, gnawing knot. So she craves and waits for this dark phantom, this dark shadow to appear to her.
Yeah, I totally get you there. And that's a great comment that you've made there, Liu. Yeah, you've definitely picked up on the sensual side of this poem. I felt that it was a stunning, inspired write Franz penned here. She's composed a wonderfully haunting gothic piece that oozes with a heady mixture of passion and sorrow, joined together in a sworn statement of everlasting love. What use am I without you? 'Tis a sullen sorrow I mourn, my mind in sync with torment's dawn, empty echoes edging my ear. trans-sublime use of poetic phrase that she penned so eloquently is clearly evident throughout. I love the lines as well. Oh, my dark gothic lover, misery has claimed me, fate has named me, anger has inflamed me. I could go on and on. I mean, each line within each verse is so skillfully crafted. The imagination and imagery are off the chart. And I love the way that she's also sort of weaved this together. It's kind of got elements of free verse and rhyme in it in places as well. And it's blended together so skillfully, it just flows. All the key ingredients are present here in any good Gothic tale: love, loss, lament, and ghostly infatuation from beyond the grave. I thought it was an excellent piece, Fran Marie, which has written here, and I enjoyed it immensely. Okay, so the next piece we're going to have up is No More Tomorrows by Jeg325. And Lu Yu, would you like to give this one a read for us, please?
Yes, just one second. My computer went to I don't know where. Okay, here we go. All right. No More Tomorrows by Jeg325. Fountains of regret pour forth, well, of sorrow. What use is the faded light when we have no more tomorrows? The frosty bite of cold snow is a knife that stabs my heart, blood freezing before it drips. Crystal teardrop cannot start. In my hand lies death's rose, plucked out of a stone castle without your presence inside. To darkness, I have become a vessel. Time, still an unmoving spirit, grief. Our court jesters paint the future, an unlikely dream, hope, like my breath, growing faint and home.
Great read, Lu Yu. Pam, what did you think to that one?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, first of all, beautiful read, Lu. You know, it's so emotionally charged as it speaks on the idea to me of love and connection just before those last breaths are taken. And there's such a sense of grief and loss. And wonderful, heartfelt lines all the way through, and very well done.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm very happy that John felt sufficiently inspired to write for this contest. He never disappoints with his wonderful poetry. He's written the piece in shaped verse to emphasize key phrases and skillfully weaved in some alternating rhyme between delicious lines of Gothic atmospheric eloquence. Again, the entire piece is beautifully written with wonderful dark metaphors and imagery, making it extremely difficult to pick any standout stanzas. That said, I particularly love these. Fountains of regret pour forth from a bleak well of sorrow. What use is the faded light when we have no more tomorrows? The frosty bite of cold snow is a knife that stabs my heart, blood freezing before it drips. Crystal teardrops cannot start. It's just absolutely brilliant writing, and it beautifully captures the bleakness of loss as well. I thought it was a truly fabulous imaginative piece here from Jeg, and I thought it was wonderful. Hence, it was awarded the bronze in the contest. And you read this one, Lu. What did you think to this?
Well, I thought as I was reading, you know, when blood is, you know, where he stabs his heart, you know, it drips differently. And that's what it looked like to me in his poem. It looked like blood that was frozen in different droplets and forms before it could sip out. And, you know, and I loved how he put, you know, after he has stabs his heart, you know, he says at the ending stanza, "A vassal time, still an unmoving spirit, grief, our court gestures paint the future, an unlikely dream, hope, like my breath growing faint." And I loved how he ended that, because you could hear dying at the end where you can no longer hear him breathing. But I also, you know, where he says with our court gesture pain, you know, gestures are made to make people laugh, but sometimes we may have felt that they're laughing at our pain and the hope that he will never be with the one that he loved, for there are no more tomorrows.
Yeah, great, great comment there, Lou. Okay, Pam, you did comment on this one, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Okay. So the next piece I'm going to put up now is "Lost My Soul When I Lost You" by Jenny the Deep. And Pam, would you be kind enough to read this one for us, please?
Absolutely. "Never to be the same, our love was all in vain. Life starts over for me again, in hell on earth while you're in heaven. Stuck wishing you were here with me, but it's not meant to be. No, no, sadly, never. Lost soul I have become, no home or purpose, deaf and blind to your urgent call. Unable to be saved, darkness soon falls. Without you here, life's a hassle. I'm an empty vessel, forever a lost soul. Bleeding, angel of death, take my very last breath. You took my lover, now take me. Please don't make me beg. Show me your mercy. I lost it all when I lost him. Now bury me in sin. Cut me open, bleeding." Poem.
Great read there, Pam. Yeah, and Lulu, what did you think?
Well, I thought that Pam did a fabulous job in reading Jenny's poem. You know, it is that agony, that pain when you lose somebody, you know, that you can't go on, you can't move on, you know, that they are so lost because you know they are so far away. You can no longer touch them. And, you know, then she brings out that she's asking the angel of death to take her last breath in her ending stanza, that "you took my lover, now take me." You know, and I thought that she beautifully wrote to that picture. That is, that's a gorgeous image. Well read, Pam.
Thank you, Lou. And Pam, you read this piece. What did you think to it?
Oh my goodness, yes. I feel like how Lou said that it really expresses that heartache, that despair, that when you lose somebody. And oh my goodness gracious, I mean, a wonderful rectiform or rectometer form. And I like how I like the middle stanza the best, where it uses the word urgent. "No home or purpose, deaf and blind to your urgent call, unable to be saved, darkness soon falls." You can really see within those lines the idea of somebody who feels that there is no longer any joy or any purpose in their life. So wonderful, dark write, and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. I agree with both of you entirely. The way that you've both expressed the sentiment behind this piece, It's another piece that's been written in and composed in shaped verse, and it's a heartbreaking piece, obviously dealing with the grief of loss. It's very skillfully penned and rhymed with some beautiful, emotive Gothic imagery. Bleeding angel of death, take my very last breath. You took my lover, now take me. Please don't make me beg. Show me your mercy. I lost it all when I lost him. Now bury me in sin. Cut me open, bleeding. It's also an imaginative piece, how Jenny's emphasised certain words and phrases by repeating them, and that at the beginning and end of each stanza, she uses the same word. I thought it was a very well-written piece of Gothica that captures the essence of her chosen prompts very well. And I have to say, well done, Jenny. Okay, so the next piece I'm going to put up is by the poet. And I believe we may well have a SoundCloud for this one. Pam? It's called Gone with the Summer.
Is that the one by Ray? Oh, yes. Yes, we do. All right. Let me find that and... Here we go.
Gone with the summer. You left me with the summer. Why did you have to go and not take me with you? I miss you more than life. I miss you. You were my life. Now I feel dead in this world without your voice and your touch. I am all alone. I need you so much. All I can do is cry on your grave. The autumn leaves blow past us, and I feel I'm with you again. Only for a moment, I close my eyes and dream of you. As the wind blows my hair, I remember your touch. I dream of summer. When you were with me, I took you and life for granted. I thought you and I were eternal. But the autumn winds blew us apart. All I have now is a rose on a grave between us. I am lost and alone, crying in the rain.
Wonderful SoundCloud there. Great read there, Rachel. And thank you so much for providing that SoundCloud for us. Wonderful. It's always great to hear poetry read in the poet's own voice. And Luyu, what did you think to that?
What I loved was the pace of her voice when she was reading her poem and the poem, you know, the pain and the agony of missing somebody, especially where she says, I dream of the summer when you were with me. I took you and life for granted, thought you and I were eternal. You know, there are so many different circumstances that can take the ones we love away. And, you know, visiting a grave, you know, especially when it's somebody that you love so deeply and so much that you feel so alone, you can hear the leaves blowing past, you know, and if he loved autumn, then she feels in some way that he is once again with her. This was a beautifully penned and read poem.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. Pam, what did you think to this?
Yeah, this is definitely a beautiful and emotive write. I like how it speaks on, you know, the idea of taking love for granted And then looking back at those memories, and the memories were beautiful, but because all they are is memories, they really just hurt and haunt the mind. And I did like her reading. She really put a lot of emotion into her read. I am all alone. I need you so much. All I can do is cry on your grave. And that was a beautiful part. And so was where she says, I remember your touch. I dream of the summer when you were with me. I took you and life for granted. You know, wonderful lines and very well done.
Yeah, good comment there, Pam. And I have to agree. And I also picked out the same lines that that Lou read earlier and that you just picked up on as well, Pam. I really enjoyed this piece by Rachel. It cascades with emotive lines. The recital was clear and spoken with passion. I think that this, to be absolutely honest, is one of the best pieces I've read from Rachel so far, where she's proven her prowess as a poet, as well as being the author of wonderful short stories. She has captured something very moving here. A wonderful inspired write, beautiful ekphrastic description of her chosen prompt, with the heartbroken man clutching a rose in the pouring rain beside a grave. Very well written by the poet. And thank you for providing us with a SoundCloud so we could hear this wonderful piece read in your own voice, Rachel. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Very well done. Okay, so the next piece I'm going to put up. And we're fortunate here that we've got somebody who I believe is no newcomer to a touch of the old Latin American Espanol. And it's called Danza Horrible Requiem by Mamiol. And Luyu, would you be kind enough to read this one for us, please?
I'd be very happy to read Christine's poem. Danza Horrible Requiem by Mamiol. Standing amongst broken bodies, stiletto heels click and slip, parquet, staggering on bloodied and ravaged, flushed from revenge, served glacial, with painful unease, stripping torn fabrics, screaming, howling as broken joints protest, maldito. Dios, que me dijo en este lugar. The parade of a thousand steps starts on the ends of a million nails, walking towards freedom, coveted and craved, like portals welcome, like open arms. And there stands the reaper, silent as the grave. ¿Dónde has estado todo este tiempo? He estado esperando durante mil años. Silent still, and not a word. The cape opens, death beckons, oblivion waiting. A cold embrace, a silent prayer, whisked away in smoke, and the dance finally ends in poem.
Wonderful read there, Luyu. Yeah, you really got the essence of that piece. Pam, what did you think to that?
Oh my goodness, that was a wonderful read. I kind of got a little scared though with the Spanish, because I suddenly had this image of Lou being, you know, one of those, you know, Hispanic mothers or grandmothers who take off their flip-flop and beat you with it when they're angry. I really like the tone you put into that. You could feel the emotion, the excitement or anger, and You know, I thought this was a wonderful write by Mamya. Powerful, visceral imagery and metaphors. You know, and the fact that I love that she was inspired to write. And gosh, I mean, I'm trying to pick out your part. Staggering on, bloodied and ravaged, flushed from revenge, served glacial. I remember mentioning before, and I'll mention again, that I thought revenge served glacial was one of the best interpretations I have ever seen of the saying revenge is a dish best served cold. And I like how that in this book, or not this book, sorry, this poem, she writes about wanting that revenge, desiring that revenge so much that it destroys yourself. So wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, great comments there, Pam. This is clearly an inspired write by Christine, where she's delved deeply into her imagination and penned a piece that is dark, gothic, and rife with wonderful imagery. I love the way this reads. It's kind of like a last dance with death. It sort of conjures an image in the mind's eye of a flamenco dancer promenading around the reaper, standing amongst broken bodies, stiletto heels click on slick parquet, cold embrace, a silent prayer, whisked away in smoke, and the dance finally ends. I see from her author notes that Mamya wrote a prelude to this piece previously, and seeing the image in this context felt inspired to conclude the tale, which fitted in very well with her chosen prompt. I love the touch of Spanish that adds an air of Hispanic passion to the tale, which was so eloquently read there by Liu Yu. And I just thought it was great writing, Mamya. Really loved it. Maldito Dio que me dio este lugar. Damn you, God, that left me in this place. ¿Dónde has estado todo este tiempo? Where have you been all this time? Great, great writing. And Liu Yu, you read this. What did you think?
You know, I loved your imagery here. You know, it just shows the anger that has been penned up. And to me, it was the pain she was inflicting on others because, as, you know, you brought out in that stanza, you know, maldito Dios, que me dejo? Why did you leave me in this place? You know, the anger. It's so vivid there, you know, and then she talks 1,000 steps, you know, the parade of 1,000 steps starts from the end of 1,000,000 nails walking towards freedom, coveted and craved, you know, what she was craving to be free of this place so that she could move on. And her anger towards those gods is just wonderfully penned here, you know, questioning. You know, where have you been? You know, and she says that, ¿Dónde has estado todo este tiempo? Where have you been all this time? So I really loved her imagery here and the fire and the anger that this character carried.
Yeah, wonderful comment there. And, you know, I think that when the Spanish language is a very passionate language, and when you sort of put that in the mix, it really sort of like just emphasizes the whole thing, and it's just wonderfully done. And so I have to say, very well done, Mamya. And we're going to move on now to the next piece, which is a piece by Jati Primastya, and it's called Death and the Maiden. Which I shall read. No, sorry, I shan't read this. This one is, guess who this one's for, Pam?
Yes, I got a 1 in 3 chance to be a 150% chance to be right.
Pam, who speaks German?
Yes. Oh, I'm guessing I'm going to read this one, right?
You guessed right.
All right. Well, here we go. I'll do my best. Death and the Maiden by Jati Primastaya. Gedeine Hand du schon und sar gebald dein Freund und komme nicht zu strafen, sei gut, muss. Ich bin nicht wild, sollst sonst in meinen Armen schlafen. By Matthias Claudius. There was a maiden pure and lovely whose cherry lips parted so sweetly as she greeted the rosy dawn porch of her father's lawn. Endowed with a constant and celestial, a voice which was precedingly musical, and a form which possessed no flaw, she inspired adoration and instilled awe. Many men fell for her exquisite charms and offered her the embrace of their arms, yet only to one man she gave her heart, a comely man with an affinity towards art. But alas, the maiden had chosen wrongly, for this man sought only to know her carnally, and after he despoiled her innocence, he ditched her without conscience. The man left and was no more to be seen, while the maiden was crushed by the darkness of sin. She cried endlessly till her tears went dry. Dolefully she looked to the sky and asked why. Woefully heartbroken beyond secure, death whispered to her in the darkest hour. Fallen to his enticement, she took a knife, slashed her wrist, and bid adieu to life. No more, no more will this heart break, for I'm in love with death, and my hand he will now take. Come swiftly, O beloved, come swiftly, O death, thus said the maiden as she drew her last breath. And poem.
Great reading there, Pam. And thank you for doing that bit of German for us as well. That was great. Okay, so, Luyu, what did you think?
You know, I thought that Pam did a fabulous read in reading Jati's poem. The imagery in here, you know, the storytelling is just breathtaking, his imagery. There was a maiden pure and lovely whose cherry lips parted so sweetly, you know, and, you know, it just, you know, then he talks about many men fell for her exquisite charms and offered her the embrace of their arms. Yet only to one man she gave her heart, a comely man with affinity towards art. So I'm going to stop there. So I leave other stanzas for other of our hosts to comment on. Great read.
Yeah, comments there, Luyu. Pam, you read this. What did you think?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely wonderful. And just to let you know, I could be wrong, but if I remember right, I think Lou actually reads German too. So if you're ever stuck without me, a little bit. Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Not only under the breath, yeah, oh my God, a sandal.
I tried. You're like, don't throw me under that, Chris. You're like, okay, Hausfrau. Nine.
You two are just way too modest. Go on. Hurry up.
But, yeah, this is wonderful. Great rhyme and flow, beautiful imagery. It's funny because I remember that the last show we did with this was read on, but obviously the show that never was. And I was telling you about that famous female classic artist that had, you know, gotten betrayed and raped and how it reminded me of her. So instantly, as soon as this poem was being read, I'm running over to my contest to try to find it. But unfortunately, I think that was like 3 years ago or something like that. And like 500 contests ago, so that's not going to happen. But, yeah, the sad thing is that while this is a story, right, sadly, it is not unheard of, you know, that for people to put their trust, especially women, to put their trust in somebody and then be betrayed, and not only emotionally, but physically betrayed. You know, it's one of those things that it just makes you so sad because and so angry. And, you know, that a jati has the ability to pull us into this moment, to this woman's emotions. And, you know, just absolutely heartbreaking. And I especially like those end lines. Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, it's just, it's stunning the way he brings out the emotion on this rite. So very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Pam. In the author notes, Jati tells us that this poem was inspired by Schubert's song entitled De Todung des Mädchen. Itself, it was a musical setting of a poem of the same name by the German poet Matthias Claudius. The opening stanza, which you read in German for us, Pam, he quoted the translation as, "Give me your hand, you beautiful and tender form. I am a friend and come not to punish. Be of good cheer, I am not fierce. Softly shall you sleep in my arms." And he said that when he was writing this, he imagined these words to be whispered by death to the maiden in his poem. I really like the way Jati's been inspired by this to write to the image of the reaper holding a naked woman and transformed it into a passionate tale of a woman besotted with death himself. The poetic language used is beautifully constructed and skillfully rhymed, conjuring wonderful Gothic imagery. Woefully heartbroken, beyond succour, death whispered to her in the darkest hour. Fallen to his enticement, she took a knife, slashed her wrist, and bid adieu to life. No more, no more will this heartbreak, for I'm in love with death, and my hands he will now take. Come swiftly, O beloved, come swiftly, O death, thus said the maiden as she drew her last breath. Love it. Brilliantly inspired rite. I think Jati's a very gifted dark poet, and I thought this was an excellent piece. So, very well done. Okay. So, moving on. The next piece we're going to put up now is War to End All Wars by Jody Melton. And let me see. Liu, would you like to give this one a read for us?
Mm-hmm. It'd be my honor.
Thank you.
War to End All Wars by Jody Melton. War to end all wars amidst the battlefield's bleak embrace. A war-torn warrior face carries his almost lifeless lover there. Her back almost ripped bare. Pain, cruel affair. In his right arm, she lays, so fragile, torn. In his left hand, a great sword edge-worn. A great sword edge-worn. Their love, a beacon in this darkest deep. A promise to hold on, together they'll keep. Through the battlegrounds, thunderous roar, they battle the horde forevermore. With each step forward, he treads a path where love and valor will conquer wrath. The skies adorned with gray clouds weep, sunbeams piercing through. In love to keep, he fights with passion and heartache profound, defending his love on haunted ground. Her almost skinless back, a symbol of despair, yet love's fire within he fiercely bears. Through anguish and torment, he persists, a love so fierce it cannot be dismissed. The corpses surround them, grasping vile, their love's embrace, a sacred isle. In the midst of chaos, they stand tall, love's defiance against death's cold call. Their souls entwining, a bond that won't sever, in love's embrace, they shall endure forever. Amidst the bloodshed and the pain, their hearts united, love's eternal reign. End poem.
Great read there, Lou Yu. Yeah, wonderful. Okay. I thought this is great rhyming here from Jodie. And it's wonderful to see so many new poets joining us, contributing towards our shows. Interestingly, Jodie has taken a different route to the melancholia by writing about a deep bond shared between lovers who are locked in a battle against seemingly unsurmountable odds, stoically determined to face whatever adversity is pitched against them. Such is the strength of their love for each other. They'd rather die giving their last breath in defense of their love than surrender to the dark hordes who would otherwise tear them asunder. The skies adorned with gray clouds, weep sunbeams piercing through a love to keep. He fights with passion and heartache profound, defending his love on haunted ground. Lovely imagery painted in the reader's mind of how love can inspire one to face whatever obstacles are thrown their way in order to preserve the deep-seated bond shared between lovers. Great writing, Jodie. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this was definitely a wonderful story, right? And I like how he took the approach of two lovers standing together to face these horrible odds. Strong imagery, great storytelling. I really like through the battleground's thunderous roar, they'll battle the horde forevermore. With each step forward, he treads a path where love and valor will conquer wrath. I like how that speaks on the strength of love to overcome evil. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, thanks for that, Pam. And Lou, you read this. What did you think?
I thought that Jodie did a fabulous job in rhyming. Each stanza flowed easily into the other, showing how this soldier, with his sword out and with chains, you know, trying to pull him down into these horde of skeletons wanting death for them, he carries that loved one, you know, seeing that she's been, you know, torn apart, you know, he willingly, because of his love and passion, that he fights for her to carry her to safety. The corpses surround them, grasping vile, their love's embrace, a sacred isle. In the midst of chaos, they stand tall. Love's defiance against death's cold call. And, you know, just enjoyed each stanza in the rhyme as it carried through this horde of skeletons trying to pull the both of them down.
Yeah, great comment there, Lou Yu. I have to agree. I thought it was a great piece. And we're going to move on now with the next piece, which is also a great piece, and it's called Left Behind by Bee's Baby, formerly known as Maeve Edmondson. And I shall read this for you. Left Behind. Crimson stains her wrists, her brawn hacked to hell, satin soaked in strawberry pits. Her curfew rings its bell. An angel not crossed over, purified wings aside, sparkling a midnight shade tarnished from suicide. Four souls roam this earth to mourn her forgotten soul. She cried for help so many times, voices grew out of control. Her mind inked with guilt, as she came to her senses, a cadaver to be destined. Nothing but bloody pretenses. Too late to save herself now. She knew her mind had to forfeit. Now she's buried in a tomb, and her family will never forget. Tears soak marble rock as she knows it's her own fault. Her hollow shell lies dormant, fingernails screech against the vault. Her voice carries echoes that would make her body tremble, stuck in this alternate dimension, this paragon she only resembles. End poem. Pam, what did you think to that one?
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, great read. I really liked this one. And I like how it speaks on the separation between the body and the soul, and how the body is trapped beneath the earth, and the soul is the part that grieves and feels all the pain and loss. I mean, it was just absolutely an amazing dark write on the heavy guilt felt within the spirit, because she made this spontaneous decision that she instantly regretted, but it was too late to take it back. Amazing write and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And Liu, what did you think?
You know, when I was listening to you read this, it just reminded me so much of how so many people are in this limbo of not being able to cross over, you know, and how these four souls that are roaming the earth, they mourn her forgotten soul. So I imagine that she cries for help, you know, that it brings up here, because she hears them roaming for her forgotten soul. And then that devastating last stanza where, you know, in the second to last stanza where, you know, she realizes, like Pam brought up, there's regret. You know, it's too late to save herself now. And then the ending stanza, her voice carries echoes that would make her body tremble, stuck in this alternate dimension, this paragon she only resembles, to just be a spirit just floating with no home and no place to go.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Liu. You've picked up on a lot of the things that I sort of picked up on with this piece as well. I thought it's a great piece Maeve has written here, and with intermittent use of rhyme, telling the tale of a lamented suicide where the protagonist is left in a limbo, drenched in guilt and regret. I've picked up on the same lines that you picked up on, which I won't repeat again. I just thought overall it was great visceral imagery of a forlorn plight for forgiveness, spun in a gothic weave of haunting tragedy that reaches out from beyond the grave. Great inspired writing here from Bee's Baby. Very well done. Okay, so the next piece I'm going to put up now is by Eva Jarvis. And Pam, would you like to give this one a read for us, please?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Ghost to Love by Eva Jarvis. The lust won my days, letting you rest is hopeless. I want to coil around your bones in shadows cast by corpses, whiter than the snowfalls over the tear-soaked graves, where weeping my wounds, I caressed the stone-made angels. And in encroaching darkness, black crows gather around tombs. I count their raising heartbeats with my nibbled fingernails, waiting in their fluttering wings, enticing me to dance in flames. I make frantic pirouettes to shake up your dormant years. Icy presence with ghostly hands swipes crows flying to my eyes. I see your bones, white, bone-white limbs, and hear whispers from your lips. A faltering light from the stars glows over our foggy silhouette, joined with the decayed loin. I remain with the unseen fires. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Pam. Thank you. Lou, you, what were your thoughts on this one?
You know, I thought that Pam did a fabulous job in reading Eva's poetry. Her images are so striking and so deeply sad, because everybody handles death and what they see differently. And it just tends to fill out in poetic lines, you know, like right here where she says, waiting in their fluttering wings, enticing me to dance in flames, I make frantic pirouettes to shake up your dormant ears. You know, and, you know, it just, she talks about, you know, the crows and, you know, the situation that's going on with her being over his grave where he has died.
Yeah, great comment there, Lou. Pam, what did you make of this piece?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I really enjoy and appreciate how dark and visceral that she went with this. Like, the rhyme is beautiful, strong imagery. The fact that she has the little details, like the nibbled fingernails, which, you know, is a representation of having that anxiety, not wanting to let someone go. I like how she brings in the crows, who are oftentimes, you know, messengers of death. And the sense of movement and waiting in their fluttering wings entice me to dance in flame. I make frantic pirouettes to shake up your dormant years. And, you know, just the way this speaks on the whole idea of not being able to let someone go. So wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, great comments there, Pam. I thought Eva's composed a wonderful piece of Gothic poetry here, with some fabulous metaphors. The heartache is palpable, as is the grief of this lament, which is so intense. The protagonist would sooner hold on to the decaying remains of her former love rather than move on with her life. I'm in tune with Lou on this one, in the line that she picked out about waiting in their fluttering wings, enticing me to dance in flames. I make frantic pirouettes to shake up your dormant years. Wonderful, wonderful lines. And also I thought that though it's not rhyming, there's a lovely flow to this piece as well. And the imagery captured is vivid with its use of metaphors. An expertly penned piece here from Eva, and very well done. Okay, so next piece we're going to put up is by Shannon Norman, called The Diabolical Violin. Lou, would you like to give this one a stab?
Yes, I would. The Diabolical Violin. By Shannon Norman. She hated the violin. So she said, so I stole one to see if I could love it. It wouldn't play, no matter what bow I used, not a note, and I held it correctly. Maybe the violin didn't want me, love me, like the guitar and piano. I play air violin now, sounds like screaming at the few who care, sounds like crying in a desert, sounds like doors slamming and heavy objects falling, sounds like the clinking of 1,000 typewriters. The diabolical violin dances me to the bathroom over 20 times per day, waiting for me to cry again about the emotionally draining irony that having money or any tenure to keep me in poverty. The diabolical violin has a screeching note to squeal for every day of my life that has not been spent in joy, but in some pathetic quest to uphold concepts like love, justice, beauty, kindness, truth, and family. The diabolical violin, whether it plays or doesn't, is a sound of pain. The louder it is heard, the more suffering has occurred. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Lou. Wonderful read. And Pam, what did you think to this one?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Just another absolutely stunning write. And I really like how she takes us through the loneliness, the emotional charge of playing this violin. And it's as if the violin is crying for the person. I also really like how there's a sense of almost haunting evilness. It actually, where she says, the diabolical violin dances me to the bathroom over 20 times per day, waiting for me to cry again about the emotionally draining irony. It's like the violin suddenly becomes a metaphor for our own despair, our own depression, the emotions that have taken over. And a great use of repetition, the diabolical violin has a screechy note to squeal for every day of my life that has not been spent in joy. Bear all this anger just expressed through this music. And wonderful right and very well done.
Yeah, I really like that great comment there, Pam. And I have to agree. I thought it was very imaginative. I mean, the whole concept behind this rite is brilliantly contrived. I thought it was a very clever muse here from Shannon. And I like the way that she likened the wail of the violin to pain and sufferance, that kind of screechy sound that the violin's capable of making, which could kind of be likened to the wail of heartbreak. The whole piece uses the diabolical violin as a metaphor for emotional pain and grief. The diabolical violin has a screechy note to squeal for every day of my life that has not been spent in joy, but in some pathetic quest to uphold concepts like love, justice, beauty, kindness, truth, and family. I just think that it's so well expressed and well written. I think it's a fabulous piece. Very well done, Shannon. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is... going to be from our very own... Who are you?
Okay. You know, I was just torn apart picking which one I wanted to write for. did you put it in the group? Because it's not showing up for me.
You put it in yourself, Lou. You added it to the board.
Yeah, let me go pick it up.
I've got it here on the board now for you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
So let's hear it from the poets in the poet's own voice.
All right. One moment, please. I don't know why my page goes all the way down to the bottom before it goes to the top. Okay. I'm sorry.
No.
Mi amor, la desolación. Son mis exhalaciones by Louis Wilder. Left alone, stranded from our former life, seeking hollow darkness, laced in poison sweet tasting words, falling as tossed snapped branches, exposed soil, ancient organisms where memories are protected there. There is no solace. Wilted arms encircle snowy, ashen breath. Encompassing moonlight beliefs from whispered torments of love. Your blood twists, turns in my crawling cold veins. Crows gently pick my charcoal misted strand. As I hear you, amada, dorme la espalda, ven a mí. I hear the raven's laughter from your bony, grinning, chattering, gasping outcries, crushing my exhales, bending my morbid desires. Let the dense, foggy night swallow my essence, weeping through the echoing mist of foggy woodlands as ravens and swollen, moist-lipped hues cries, quivering to innumerable crescendos. Your gentle, your animalistic kisses, my name upon your beloved accent, full lips, enthralled every shivering in my languid form. Dark, heavy boots press the wet ground. Your drenched leather trench coat flutters, shudders within the leafless branches as my lace corset strangles my rib cage. Sooty wings slap, tearful, poetic wording runs slowly in the dreaded, repeated, romantic, tormenting song. As seeds of the Don de Leon, its teeth of the mind giving its ethos, lifeblood drains from your beloved goldy chair, staining my black velvet skirt, blending in the grayish mist. Ravens carry your spectral whispers as my anguished, miserable, lonely mind is finally soundless, noiseless. En a mí, mi lujuria, mi deseo, mi amor. And poem.
Wonderful read there, Luyu. Absolutely stunning. Okay. So, wow, this is absolutely fantastic writing, Lou. You're painting a detailed picture of dark romance here. The passion is palpable, and I adore the way that you reel the reader in with your visual descriptions and metaphors. You possess a rare talent for portraying emotion and skillfully walking between sensuality and romance in your lines. Left alone, stranded from our former life, seeking hollowed darkness, laced in poisoned, sweet-tasting words, falling as tossed. Snapped branches, exposed soil, lichen organisms, where memories are protected. There is no solace. The opening lines capture and grip the reader's attention, transporting the imagination to some place in a natural setting where a lovelorn heart cries out to memories of a lamented love. I'm so happy that you felt inspired to write this piece and share it with us, Lou. I love the melancholy vibe that you've captured. And by the way, I thought there was a great choice of music that you posted with the poem as well to listen to while reading it. I think it's absolutely lovely. And just quick translation of some of those Spanish lines there. Beloved, take the sword. Come to me, and come to me, my lust, my wish, my love. Absolutely brilliant. And Pam, what did you think of that?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this was brilliant. Beautiful read there, Lou. Amazing imagery and metaphors. I really like snapped branches expose soil and chin organisms where memories are protected. There is no solace. Wilted arms encircle snowy ashen breasts encompassing moonlight beliefs from whispered torments of love. Within those lines and so many more, you can feel the grief, you can feel the pain, and the sense of loss and betrayal. I really like my ribcage, sooty wings flap, tearful poetic wordings run slowly and dreaded repeat, romantic, tormenting songs. Sometimes just pulling out the pen is the best way to express one's torment, one's grief, and especially as those ghosts of love just continue to whisper and haunt the mind. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, great comments there, Pam. Is there anything you'd like to add yourself, Lou, about what was going through your mind when you wrote this piece?
Well, it was the image that wrote itself, you know. The pain of her just being draped over to her was just speaking to her and, you know, wanting her to take the blade and, you know, stab herself because she has something in her hand. I couldn't tell, but that's what the image brought to me and how she's, you know, bent over and because she, you know, she's dying. Because she just hears him calling for her and, you know, she misses. You know, I wanted to go gothic and put, you know, a lot of the imagery and metaphors in here. And it was, you know, I usually don't write for a lot of dark poems. But this one, I just had to do it.
Well, I'm so glad you did because it's a brilliant piece and I'm really grateful that you posted that and got it done in time for the show tonight. Wonderful share there, Lou.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next piece I'm going to put up is by Alice Macabre and it's called Flames of Eternity, which I shall read for you. And this was the gold winner in the contest. Swirling cinders, heartbeats scattered across the nothing, a silent soliloquy of a starlit soul. In an ocean of regret, she drowns in hellfire and heartache. In a sky of sorrow, he colours in clouds of crucifixion. Together for a moment, separated for all of eternity. Mirror muses, twirling in the torment of suffering. He wove her name in stardust on the moon as he drank in a gaze of intoxicating indigo. The horns of hell had fallen in love with heaven's halo. She soothed every blazing scar, seen and unseen, with his wicked wit and whimsy. Tenderness spread its wings. Ebony sins slaked themselves on ivory innocence. In shadow, jaws of jealousy bled hearts dry. Treacherous thoughts became wounding words. What was once beautiful, now distorted, grotesque. Rage bred revenge, and flaming retribution reigned. A divine light spluttered and died, ashes of amour. Celestial beings intertwined in a gate of grief. Memory sparks longing, and coals of passion ignite. The angel and her demon dance amongst the stars. The weft of their design, eternal as the tapestry of night. This love, an ineffable, agonizing resplendence. Heartbeats, silent no longer. A melody of magnificence. Swirling cinders. Now, a raging firestorm of forever. Okay. What did you think to that, Lou?
Oh, you did a fabulous job reading Alice's poem, and congratulations on her gold. You know, I loved how she entwined the darkness with the light and how she softened. You know, I loved where she says, he wove her name in stardust on the moon as he drank in a gaze of intoxicating indigo. The horns of hell had fallen in love with heaven's halo. She soothed every blazing scar seen and unseen. You know, that is, you know, the tender emotions that are passed between lovers. And of course, at the end, you know, they're no longer, but their love just burns and flames forever. And you know, I've seen some constellations that look as if they're on fire. So I can imagine that this was their love, that no longer they exist as dark angels or light angels.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment there, Lou. Pam, what did you make of this?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this one, it's beautiful and brilliant imagery. Definitely a well-deserved gold. I love the way she tells the story of these two lovers who cannot be together and so desire to have each other, who briefly touch for that moment, together for a moment, separated for all eternity, mirror muses twirling in the torment of suffering, and in shadow jaws of jealousy, bled hearts dry, treacherous thought became wounded words. What once was beautiful, now distorted, grotesque, rage, dread, revenge. I mean, all the way through, there's brilliant lines, but the emotion within those lines, the idea of how anger and jealousy and rage can just destroy a love between two people or attempt to. And then to end with the word forever, I thought was so beautiful, that they are together forever in a different form. I thought was just a stunning way to end this rite, and very well done.
Yeah, great observations there, Pam, and I totally agree with you on that, about the last line. I've got to say, this is inspired ink from Alice. The poetic eloquence, imagination, and wonderful use of metaphor are stunning throughout. There are so many fabulous lines to choose from here, it's difficult to single any out. I went with the stanza that spoke to me was, he wove her name in stardust on the moon as he drank in a gaze of intoxicating indigo. The horns of hell had fallen in love with heaven's halo. She soothed every blazing scar seen and unseen. With his wicked wit and whimsy, tenderness spread its wings. Ebony sins slaked themselves on ivory innocence. Ebony sins slaked themselves on ivory innocence. I just love the imagery conjured in that line. Darkness sating itself on the innocence of light. The whole piece is wonderful and demonstrates Alice's talent as a gifted dark poet. Very well done indeed. And as you rightly said, a deserving gold. Okay, so I think we might just about squeeze one more in. So this piece is called Sophia's Final Ballad by Lauren Mills. And Pam, would you like to give that one a read for us?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. All right. My dearest Lauren, hear my voice in words that echo my heart's choice. Through tears that stain this tearful page, I reach to you from a distant stage. With trembling hands, I write this letter to ease the pain that's torn us better. Please know, dear friend, my love remains, though I've departed life's mortal chains. So proud am I of the woman you've become, a beacon of strength when days are glum. Please carry on. Let your spirit ignite, spreading love and kindness both day and night. I ask of you, dear Lauren, if you will, to watch over my brother with love so still. Guide them gently through life's rough tide, for they'll need your strength by their side. Embrace them as family, as I know you will, for in this heart my love lingers still. Be the sister I can no longer be. Offer them solace as they journey free. In memories we shared, let them find peace, a bond unbroken, love that won't cease. For in your arms they'll feel my embrace, a guardian angel in your warm space. Lauren, my friend, wipe away your tears. Embrace the love that transcends the years. Know that I'm proud of you through and through, and in every moment my spirit shines true. Though our paths have diverged, for now it seems, our souls remain intertwined like woven dreams. Carry my love within your heart's core, and know that I'm with you forevermore. Yours truly from beyond the veil, Sophia, a spirit that shall never pale. Go hug my mother and let her see the strength and love that lies within thee. End poem.
Fabulous read, Pam. Thank you for that. This is a deeply moving piece penned by Lauren. As in her author notes, she's mentioned that this poem is written from the perspective of her best friend, Sophia, who took her life just a little over 2 years ago at the tender age of 15. She didn't leave a note, so Lauren's written this piece to give herself a bit of closure, imagining what she would have said had she have written something. So it is written from the perspective of someone who has passed over. Such a tragic story that anyone so young, with a whole life lying ahead of them, should choose to end it prematurely like this, without feeling able to reach out for help and guidance first. It is well written, with good use of rhyme, and flowing over with emotion. Deeply moving and very well done, Lauren, and please accept our condolences on the sad loss of your best friend. Lou, would you like to say something quickly on this?
This was a beautiful tribute to her friend, and sometimes nobody knows us better than our friends. And right here, you know, you can see she's accepting in some ways the death that their paths have diverged. For now it seems our souls remain entwined like woven dreams. Carry my love within your heart's core and know that I'm with you forevermore. You know, the beauty and expression for her friends and what she believed her friends would want her to know.
Yeah, great comment. Do you want to say something quickly, Pam?
Absolutely. A stunning emotive write. I am so sorry for her loss. And I am glad she's able to write this in order to find that closure that she needs.
Absolutely.
Her sentiments are beautifully expressed.
Yeah, great comment, Pam. And on that note, I think the show's come to an end. So have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for joining me, Pam and Lou Yu. Great show. And we look forward to hopefully seeing you again soon in another couple of weeks' time. So have a great weekend, everyone, and enjoy your Sundays. Good night from me.
Thank you.